Okay, we're going to turn to the reading of God's Word at this time, and we're going to continue with the series that I began a couple of weeks ago. We're focusing on prayer, as you see on the screen, Prayer 101, and just learning some basics about prayer. And we all know the importance of prayer, but many of us find that prayer is something that we need to work on. And some of us certainly have the gift of prayer, and some of us can spend a lot of time in prayer, but for many of us, we find prayer somewhat difficult. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how at times when we feel that prayers go unanswered, and how that sometimes challenges us. So we're going to read a passage from Psalm 22, a psalm of David, and then we're also going to read some verses from 2 Corinthians 12. Passage from the Apostle Paul. So hear then the word of God, first of all, from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Yet let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild ox. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened. From you comes the theme of praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it all. And then 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 7. And the context of that is Paul, he received an amazing revelation. And in that context, he says these words. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So far, then, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, Howard Hendricks tells a story about when he was a young man before he was married. And he was aware that certain mothers had their eyes out for him on behalf of their daughters. And one mother even said to him one day, Howard, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you to become my son-in-law. Howard stops the story to ask, have you ever thanked God for the gift of unanswered prayer? Now it's a story that makes people smile, but for most people, the issue of unanswered prayer is anything but a laughing matter. Many people raised in Christian homes were taught at an early age that we can take everything to God in prayer. Many of these same people find prayer to be most difficult. Some have even totally given up on prayer. And why is that? Because many people have experienced the all too frequent frustration of having their prayers go unanswered. They've pleaded with God to heal a terminally ill family member. They've asked God to provide a boyfriend or girlfriend. They've prayed for a better marriage. They've prayed for a better job. They've prayed for God to help them overcome an addiction of some kind. Yet, their prayers go unanswered, which leads many people to question the validity of prayer, because God doesn't seem to listen to them anyway. Now, this matter of unanswered prayer is not a recent phenomenon. Christians have struggled with this issue throughout church history. It also happened regularly with people in Bible times. Even Jesus himself experienced this reality of unanswered prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asked his heavenly Father to spare him from going to the cross. And then on the cross itself, Jesus experienced the ultimate abandonment as he cried out the words from Psalm 22 on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, the ancient writers, they spoke of this feeling of being abandoned by God as the God who is hidden. Most of us have experienced this in some way. Those times when we desperately needed some assurance of God's divine presence in our lives, but our prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling and we feel nothing, we see nothing, and we receive nothing. God just remains hidden from us. And at times like that, we can go through various steps of trying to draw ourselves closer to God. We read the Bible, we pray continually, we go to church, we live as faithfully as we can, and still there are times when there's no response. Author George Buttrick says, it feels like we're beating on heaven's door with bruised knuckles in the dark. Ever feel that way about prayer? Now we need to be careful here to conclude that this feeling of being forsaken by God, that's really a lack of faith. Many sincere and faithful Christians go through such anguished times of feeling separated from God. experience sometimes referred to as the dark night of the soul. Even such biblical pillars as Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, and the Apostle Paul have traveled this road before us. In fact, the Bible shows that God actually uses such dark nights of the soul to fulfill his purposes in people's lives. Now, Psalm 22 that we read earlier shows David in one of those dark moments when his prayers didn't seem to get through to God. David cries out in verse 1 with deep anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Can't you see that I'm crying out to you all day and all night long? God, where are you when I need you? Piercing silence just doesn't make sense today. He knows that God is able to answer him. After all, he is the great God that his forefathers were praying to time after time, the God who miraculously rescued his people in the most desperate situation of the battle. And so David is asking now, why does the same God now seem so far away from? Why am I so humiliated like this? And yet it's amazing, as we continue to read in this psalm, by the end of the psalm, David is actually praising God for his faithfulness. He acknowledges God's rule over all things, and he praises God for hearing his cry for help. And so we can ask, how could David change his tune so quickly? It's obvious that he never gives up on God. God was silent and seemingly beyond reach, but David hangs on to the fact that God is still there at all times. That nothing ever happens beyond God's control. David knows that he can't stop calling out to God. And even when people ridicule him for continuing to trust in God, David knows that God is still God and that he has nowhere else to turn with the struggles of his life. In this psalm, David expresses how we feel when we scream out towards heaven, why, God? Why have you allowed this to happen to me at a time like this? Up his heart to God. You know what happened there. Anyway, David pours out his heart to God, and as he releases his pain into God's hand, he experiences renewed hope deep within his soul. And so it's really no surprise that when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus took out those very same words from Psalm 22 during his dark, painful hours of feeling abandoned by his heavenly Father on the cross for our sin. In our times of deepest distress, we often take comfort in knowing that family members will be there for us, even when no one else seems to understand our situation. But you know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross in painful agony on the cross, he had no father to answer his cry. Jesus was all alone in those dark hours of forsakenness on the cross. And he cries out with incalculable agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there was no answer. Father's presence was nowhere to be found. He was all alone, hanging there in bitter torment as he gave up his life to remove the curse of sin for us on that cross. And you know, it's exactly because Jesus was abandoned by God on the cross that God will never forsake you and me like that. Even when God seems the most absent in our life, God is still always present to help us in our greatest moments of weakness and despair. As Psalm 46 says, God is our ever-present help in trouble. in such distressful times of our lives, many people are tempted to turn their backs on God and forever blame God for the misery of their lives. But the Bible stresses that there's no such thing as a true absence from God. It's only our sense of God being absent in our lives. It's like the well-known poem that many of us have read, the poem Footprints, where the person sees only one set of footprints. In the sand, where formerly there were two sets of footprints. And when the person asks God why he left her at that critical point, God responds, "That's when I started to carry you, when you could no longer carry on by yourself." In other words, even when God seems to be absent, even when our prayers seemingly go unanswered, we need to hang on to God all the more tightly, believing that He will carry us through those dark nights of the soul. Even when life doesn't make sense to us, we need to trust that God is still always in charge. That God knows what He's doing as He works out His purposes for our lives. Now, that's not to say that it's ever easy when our prayers go unanswered. Especially when we look at some passages in the Bible, like Mark 11, verse 24, where Jesus said, "I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." And we look at a passage like that and say, "Why is that not happening for me?" In fact, such passages can even be a real stumbling block when people's prayers go unanswered. And then it's perfectly understandable for people to start wondering why prayer even makes any difference in their lives. People, now we need to realize that those times when we feel the most forsaken by God, that God often uses those things to teach us things that we would never learn when life is clear sailing for us in our lives. We learn that we can't just make God jump at our beck and call. Now, we might do that with other people, but God doesn't allow us to manipulate Him in that way. And in those times when God seems hidden, God actually weans us from our natural tendency to try to turn God into a puppet on a string. In those times of despair and abandonment, God frees us from our false, idolatrous images of Himself. And we open ourselves to experience God for who He really is in a new way. We learn that. We learn to be still, to know that He is God. Now, no doubt, those dark nights of the soul still force us to ask deep questions about what life is all about. And as the nagging doubts and questions threaten to overcome us, we need to learn to distrust our own feelings of self-reliance, our superficial accomplishments, and our natural dependency on the material things of this world. In our barren wasteland of feeling forsaken by God, we learn to trust in God in a whole new way in our lives. And that's the thing that we see happening in the second passage that we looked at from 2 Corinthians 12, where the Apostle Paul deals with the matter of unanswered prayer in his own life. It says there that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, what was that thorn in the flesh? Nobody knows. The Bible doesn't say. But notice how Paul describes it in verse 7. Paul says, "There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." And then notice how Paul deals with that in the following verse, verse 8. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take that thorn away from me. And how does God respond to Paul's prayer? Instead of answering that prayer, instead of removing that tormenting thorn as Paul had prayed for, God offers something even better to Paul in verse 9. God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient. Power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, Paul Paul would have to learn to live with this unanswered prayer, to learn to live with this thorn in the flesh. God would give him the grace to endure this continual reminder of his own weakness. Paul would still want to complete the work that God wanted him to do. But what Paul needed to learn is that he could not do that in his own strength. Paul had to learn to serve in the power and the strength that God made available to him by his Holy Spirit. And it's amazing then how Paul comes to understand the purpose of this unanswered prayer in his life. Paul says that this thorn actually kept him from becoming proud and self-reliant. Instead, he learned to trust in God's power to work in him despite his own need. Like Paul, God sometimes uses unanswered prayer to help us let go of our tiny self-centered vision to release a greater good in our lives. God sometimes uses such drastic means to free us from our self-sins that affect us so naturally. Things like our self-sufficiency, our self-promotion, our self-indulgence, self-deception, or whatever other selfish motives that tend to get in the way of our own lives. God sometimes uses unanswered prayer to enable us to look beyond our conceited, self-centered tendency, to show us how we can serve others with the same grace and the same love that God provides for us in Jesus. You see, sometimes I think it's possible to fool ourselves in thinking that the things we are praying for, that this is actually the best thing for our lives. But God knows that our requests will sometimes do us more damage than we'll ever realize. God protects us in those situations by saying no to our prayers in those situations. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us God's will before we pray. And that's not an easy thing. It's so easy to focus on what we want rather than what God wants for our lives. And that's why God gives us the Bible. God gives us the Bible as his instruction manual to teach us how to pray, to teach us how to pray for God's will for our lives. Author Bill Hybels says that when we pray, helps to ask, if God granted this request, would it bring glory to God? If we were granted this request, would it advance God's kingdom into this world? Would it help other people? Would it help me to grow spiritually? And if we're led to conclude that our motives are wrong, then we can pray, Lord, forgive me. Help me to grow. Help me to pray more in line with your will for me. Help me to know when my prayer is self-serving, short-sighted, and even too small. And helps also to realize that sometimes God delays the answer to our prayers. Sometimes God just simply says, yeah, I want to answer that prayer, but not yet. Biblical examples of this include Abraham, who had to wait until he was 100 years old before he would receive his promised son, Isaac. Even David. David had to wait a number of years to assume the throne of the people of Israel after he had been anointed as Israel's king. And for us who live in an instant society, too often not yet feels like now, doesn't it? Children hate it when they ask their parents for something and their parents say, not yet. Maybe someday, but not yet. Because they want to have an answer now, right? And there's an impatient child in each one of us, isn't there? We want God to answer our prayers immediately, if not yesterday. And when our all-knowing, all-wise Heavenly Father deems it best to say, not yet, then we often respond saying, but God, don't you understand? I need it now. God isn't intimidated by our childish demands for instant gratification any more than a wise parent who holds off a request until a more appropriate time. God has his reasons for saying not yet in our lives on time. God, sometimes God delays the answer to our prayer simply for us to be strengthened in our faith and our trust in him. But sometimes God even wants us to modify our request. And sometimes God wants us to deal with an area of sin in our lives that blocks us from praying according to God's will. And there are other times where God wants us to learn some character qualities, such as endurance, patience, or submission. And the fact is, we often make great spiritual gains in our lives through those difficult times of pain, confusion, and disappointment. And yet experience tells us that there are also times where we'll never know on this side of heaven as to why certain prayers remain unanswered. And admittedly, there's no easy answer as to why an all-powerful, all-loving God would allow a young child or a young mother to die when it seems so right for God to answer our prayers for healing. While it's hard to see how any good could come out of such painful situations, we still need to pray for God to give us the grace to give it over to the mystery of his divine purposes for our lives. But we also need to remember that despite the victory that God achieved over Satan through Jesus' death and resurrection, everything in this world today is still not yet handed over to God's full rule. The devil still tries his hardest to derail God's work of renewal in this world today. As we read the book of Job, or as we consider Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, it shows how Satan still tries his best to torment us with the painful struggles of this world. Too often it seems like Satan still holds the upper hand with all the evil in the world around us. But we, as God's people of faith, we need to hang on to the fact that God still always has the final say. We cling to the hope of God's ultimate victory at Jesus' second coming. And we hang on to God's promise in the Bible in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, where it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We hold fast to the promise that every unanswered prayer will receive a spectacular vindication in the life to come. Until that time, we pray as Jesus did, as he sweated those painful drops of blood in Gethsemane. "Not my will, but your will be done." So may we learn to pray these words when we don't always get the answer that we're looking for. And all God's people said, Father in heaven, you know that we've all experienced those times when it felt like you were hidden from us. We've had those times when in our lives when our prayers have gone unanswered. Those times when we felt full of despair and abandonment. Lord God, help us to believe that you will never abandon. That you promise to be there for us even when everything else tells us that that's not the case. That you promise to be our ever-present help. So, Lord, help us to hang on to those promises. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to come to this world. That you chose to be forsaken by God on the cross so that we will never experience that anymore. Help us to trust, Lord God, that even when you say no to us in our prayers, even when you say not yet to our prayers, that you know what's best for us, that you continue to work out your purposes in our lives. Help us to trust that your grace will always be sufficient for us, and that your power will be perfect for us in our weakness. Help us to trust that nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever separate us from your love for us.